Good to see your smiling faces here this morning. Good to have Royce. He's on the road all the time, but we're glad to have him. And got the Rudds back and all kinds of people back from this and that. And I'm glad to see y'all here. I appreciate you being here so much. Are you glad to be here? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Looking forward to Brother Stacy and Deborah's children's class presentation earlier. That's always such a blessing. They both have such a ministry with these precious children, and I appreciate that. If you have your Bible, turn over to John chapter 14 while you're turning. Let me go ahead. Brother Chris already said it, but good to have Sally back. And also, Ike is at home, and he said to tell y'all he's looking forward to coming back. He's probably not going to be able to come to church for 2 or 3 weeks at least until he can get all strengthened up here from those staples that they got holding everything together. I'm no doctor, but I would imagine it's not a good thing for them to come out. Yeah. Is that right? But y'all pray for them and for Sally that she would keep on getting better. And that would be great when we get everybody all back in one place. We are in John chapter 14. And we'll be there for probably 2 or 3 more weeks. But last week we saw Peter's confidence in the fact that he said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll go, so to speak, to the ends of the earth. And that was right after our Lord saying that one of the most important things to do as a child of God is to love your brother. And Peter apparently didn't even acknowledge that statement, but he makes that statement in chapter 13 that he would follow the Lord. And then the Lord gave him the news that he said, look, Peter, by morning you'll have denied me 3 times. And so we begin reading in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So they're in the upper room, and not only has everyone in the room heard the statement that the Lord made that Peter would deny him 3 times before morning, but they've already heard our Lord say that there was a betrayer in the room already. And as you know, that was in chapter 13. So I would imagine if these guys are like normal humans, like us, we hear those two statements, and that's already troubling. There's already anxiety there because you're wondering who's going to betray the Lord. You're wondering how Peter's going to deny the Lord 3 times. And so there's tension probably in the room. There's some fear. There's certainly some question about what's going on. And our Lord gives to these men the comfort that they will need in the following weeks in chapter 14. And of course, I brought out last week in verse number 2, and my Father's house are many mansions or abiding places. And one of the things I wanted to repeat this morning was, if you'll go to verse number 23, this is a comforting thought, I love this, but verse 23 says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Abode. That word abode and that word mansion in verse number 2 are from the same Greek word. And they mean abiding places. So, and as I said last week, it's so easy for us to hear those songs that we've always heard about our mansions in heaven and read verse number 2. And, you know, I'm looking forward to what God's prepared for us. If we read the book of Revelation, it's going to be awfully nice. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place in heaven. But we need to not forget that one of the greatest things that you and I can do as a child of God is to abide with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Newsflash, that's what the book of John is about. Newsflash, that's what the book of 1st and 2nd and 3rd John is about, is abiding with Jesus. And all my life, you know, as a young man, and I would be in church and we would read these verses, and I even remember back then thinking how much time and how much effort, how many words, how many chapters were written on knowing Jesus. On knowing Jesus. And I remember thinking, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I know him. You know, why is this thing, you know, brought up so much? Well, when you get into it, knowing Jesus involves so much more than just being aware of him. It's abiding with him. It's living for him. And we're going to read some verses here in just a minute. But read verse number 4 with me. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, on one hand, Thomas is the guy in the room always asking the questions, and sometimes they're questions of maybe doubt, but he's, as I said last week, he's probably doing what everybody else in the room is already thinking anyway. I'm glad he asked the question. I'm glad he took everybody to that point. And in verse number 6, it says, Jesus saith unto the him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Boy, you couldn't get a more clearer verse in all the scripture. There's no way you can put strange meanings into that. And yet we do, don't we? We do put strange meanings in it sometimes in the way we live. We do put strange meanings into it, and sometimes in the how we say what we want to say, and then live like something else. He says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Not the person who shows the way, but the literal way. He's the path. You know. Turn over to Isaiah 35, verse number 8. Isaiah 35, verse number 8. Now, we see so many, as you know, we see so many prophetic descriptions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah. And I want you to see with me in Isaiah 35, one verse. Verse number 8, and it says in Isaiah 35:8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Now that's a lot of words, and we don't really talk that way, so I'm just going to say this right here. The prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of our Lord in so many of these chapters, in types and in symbols. And here he's talking about a way that is so good, the way of holiness. Now the unclean shall not pass over it, but the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Even a fool can go to the way of holiness, and it won't be a bad thing for him to do. It won't be the wrong choice. That's what Jesus is trying to tell all these men in John chapter, the entire book of John. I am the way, men. I am the truth, men. I am the life, men. You are stuck. He's telling them you are stuck in this Judea system that you've had for all these years, and yet the way to go to God himself is through me. That's what he's telling them. Why can't they understand it? Well, they're so ingrained into what they've heard. They're so ingrained into a life of a history of their rules and their regulations. And here in verse number 6, he tells them, the only way to get to God is through me. The only way to obtain favor from God is through me. And that's the only way it can be done today. That's the only way it can be done. Let me read you a couple of verses here. I took these from other books. We don't really have time to turn, but I want to read you Acts chapter 4, verse 12. If you did a study on the clarity, a number of verses that are so clear about who our Jesus is, it would amaze you. Acts number 4, verse 12. Listen to the clarity of these words. Neither is there salvation in any other, talking about Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Did you understand that? Did you have any, you know, was that hard to understand? No. The words are very clear. The words are very declarative, if that's a word, declarative. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now there we see that God's exalted the right hand of Jesus Christ to be a prince. The only way to reach God himself is through Jesus Christ himself. Now turn over to 1 John chapter 5. Just a few books to your right there from the book of John. 1 John. We'll turn several times today. We normally don't do that, but these are great verses. I mean, these are wonderful verses. If you might jot them down if you come across anybody that believes that there's another way to get to heaven other than Jesus. These are great verses to have at your fingertips, okay? 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse number 11. Are you there? 1 John 5, 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Pretty clear, isn't it? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. I look at verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, that you can be sure without a shadow of a doubt, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Any question there? No, we understand it. It's very, very clear exactly what he is saying. And then he says back in our text in John 14, in verse number 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth we know him. Ye know him and have seen him. Now, henceforth basically means from this time forth. Now, think back with me. Fast forward in your mind. What's going to happen to these men in the next weeks and months and years? Well, our Lord's going to be gone. Jesus is going to be ascended back to heaven. But the Holy Spirit comes and aids and gives these men understanding and protects these men in their ministries. And so he says, from this time forth, you're going to have a better understanding of what I've been saying all this time, because I've been saying to men who they have a history that makes them not understand. They have their human minds, which makes them not understand. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll give those men understanding, which he does today too. He gives us understanding just like that they did here. So we're going to spend just a few minutes in verse number 7, and it's about the word know. It's in three forms. The first two forms are known, and then the third form is know. Now, we all know what know means, right? Sure we do. Or at least we have a pretty good understanding because we use it. I know I love my family. I know I love my church family. And that's pretty much how it is in the original language as well, with a few touches. Let me give you some of those touches. One of them is the one we know to be aware of or to understand or know absolutely. Another definition that, and this was the way, these are the ways that they used the word know back then. And here it's where it really means something. Feel. Feel. F-E-E-L. Now we don't really use it like that much. I know my mom used it this way, you know, like if she was sure of something. Not because she had proof in black and white, but because she felt it so strongly that it was true. I just know it. That's what she would say. I just know it. And my dad would say, well, how do you know it? Well, I just know it. Well, then you don't know it if there's no proof. But one of those definitions of the word know is to feel. And here our Lord says in verse number 7, he says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So as I was reading this chapter, which is full of the word know, I started thinking, well, what does it mean to really know Jesus? Like I said, when I was growing up, I'd heard this all my life, and yet we take it for granted. Yes, I'm a child of God. I ask for repentance. I'm a Christian, so I do know the Lord. And that's, in one sense of the word, very, very accurate and very, very true. But there are other senses of the word know that sometimes in my life I may not be knowing the Lord in the right way. Can I share some of those with you? Go over to 1 John chapter 2. Three examples of what it means. Not just three. There's many more examples, but here are three examples of what it means to know Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. As soon as I get there, we'll read it. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, that just means atonement. He's the atonement or propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a what? Oh, boy, that's a brutal word right there. But it's right there in black and white. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now remember, before we start getting too scared here, you know, we start going through in our minds and trying to think of everything that our Lord said, what God has said in the Ten Commandments, and you know, that's pretty tough because we're human. Before we get too far into that train of thought, let's remember what the word keep means. Do you remember that word that we talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago? And here he uses it again in verse number 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That word keep there means to watch with the intent to follow. And the way it was used back in that day was for the captains of the ship. Remember that? The saying of the day, the phrase of the day, was that they would keep the stars. And that just meant that, you know, they didn't have the instrumentation that we have. They didn't have all the gauges and all the things that we have. But they would keep the stars. They would watch the stars at night, and that's how they would navigate their ship. Now, as they were doing that, sometimes they would get off course. Maybe it was cloudy and they couldn't see the stars. Maybe they misinterpreted the stars. Maybe whatever reason they didn't go. The point is when you keep the stars, most of the time it's not a straight line. It's some kind of a zigzag line, because life's not perfect. And we're told to keep the commandments of God because sometimes we got to do it. We can't do it in a straight line. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough, because we have these bodies of flesh, these bodies that can walk away from the Lord just like that. So we have to do it in a zigzag fashion. We try to go and we try to keep the stars. I remember when we rented our houseboat back in 2012, and the owner of the marina, when we were doing our little test run before he sent us out with it, he was having problems with the steering system on that boat. And he called his mechanic there at the back at the base, and the guy said, "Well, I just changed oil in those lines. So soon as that system works out the air bubbles, you'll be able to steer perfectly," because the owner was concerned that we wouldn't be able to control the houseboat. And so the bubbles never worked out. And we rented the boat for 4 days, and we ended up taking it back after 2.5 days because I couldn't steer the thing. You know, he gave me points. It was a 11-mile lake, and he gave me points. If you ever get lost, keep these points here and just go toward these points. I couldn't go toward those points, Brother Stacy, because I couldn't do a straight line. I had to go this way, and then I had to go this way. And then I know people who drive that way. But and here, one of the best ways to know the Lord is to keep his commandments. And before you get all scared, we can't keep them all. We got to zigzag because we're human. We can't get there in a straight line. And that's the way to think about that. That's a wonderful way to think about that. You remember two weeks ago in chapter 13, where our Lord was washing the disciples' feet, and the foot washing ceremony was a great example for us to get our feet washed daily in the water of God's Word. So when you zigzag off the path, what's it time to do? Get our feet washed. Cleanse our walk in the Word of God. Because we can't keep it 100% of the time, or I can't anyway. If you can, my hat's off to you. But that's one of the best ways to know Him, is to keep His commandments. Now turn over two chapters to 1 John 4. Oh, goodness, another tough one. 1 John 4. Another way that we can know Him. Another way we can feel who He is in our life is in 1 John chapter 4. And let's read verse number 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and..." what? "Knoweth God." You know why this was a tough one? Because we like to separate certain people out of our command to love, don't we? Yeah, sure we do. Yeah, I love everybody at church. There is this one guy, this one lady, you know, that that's what we do. We excuse our dislike and sometimes our hatred for somebody because of some reason. And yet when we get right down to the very meat of the matter, if I'm a child of God, if I'm walking with the Lord, then I'm loving you, whether I like you or not. Now, I like all of you. I'm not thinking of anybody. That's a sign of knowing God. That's a sign that we have matured enough to love our brother, even when it's most difficult to love. Go down to verse number 20. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother," what is he? He's a liar. There's that word again. Goodness. "For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" Phew. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So see, there's two very... Why is the Apostle John talking about knowing God so much in his book? Because it's tough to know God. If you know God the right way, if you feel his power in your life, if you live according to what understanding and discretion and discipline he gives you, it's tough. because we're all imperfect people. And one way is keeping his commandments, and the other way is loving our brother. Now, there's no disqualifiers in there. There's no exceptions in there. There's where the rub is. You guys are easy to love. We can go, I could probably find any church in Lubbock and find 3/4 of the church, or maybe 9/10 of the church, or maybe 99% of the church that I could love, but there's always going to be that one person that's tough to love, and you know it. You could probably start your list right now. And yet we know, if we know God, if we know our God absolutely, if we understand God, if we are aware of God, if we feel God's presence in our life, I got to love these people. That's what we got to do. That's how we know God. Now go to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll look at the last way before we close. Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. And look in verse number 10. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, there's the word, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his death. Here's the third way to know God. Am I allowing his power to be seen in my life? You know, that word power is a big word. That power is a big word because as we attempt to follow the Lord from day to day, and as we attempt to give him a heart that is sincere before him, we find out sometimes that's hard to do. Well, where do we get the ability to do that? Where do we get the power to do that? We get it from him. We get it from him. He gives us the power to do what we need to do as a child of God. And so am I not only keeping his commandments if I claim to know him, and am I loving the brother if I claim to know him, and am I living in his power if I claim to know him? Once again, we're always going to have the human side to us until we get to heaven and we can shed ourselves of that sinful nature, of that fleshly nature that we have. But for the child of God, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit to help us get through whatever it is that's ailing our spirit. So if there's something particularly troubling in our Christian life, we can make ourselves... We can make that available to our Christian walk. We can depend on the Lord. I've said it many times. There were times in the past where I would try to be disciplined enough to read God's Word every day, and not just really read it, but to study it. And there would be something in my head, something in my heart troubling me or something, and it would be like a roadblock. I'd read those words, and they just bounce off the page, you know. And so sometimes during those times, I would close my Bible and I would get down on my knees. And I got this from my dad. My dad, this was a thing in his life. And I would just pray a very simple prayer. Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but there's something troubling my spirit, and there's something messing with my mind, and it's becoming a brick wall to my reading this morning. God, I pray that you would confess, that I pray, God, that I would confess, that you would forgive whatever it is that I've done. If it's something that's hindering my fellowship with you, if it's coming between me and you, Lord. And sometimes I'd have to do that 2 or 3 times. You say, well, that's silly. Or, Dwayne, that's charismatic, or whatever you want to say. That works, is what I want to say. And sometimes we have to realize that we have to live in his power. We have to realize that these beings, these fleshly beings, these emotional and these passionate beings that God has put us in sometimes go another way. And we need to confess that. And we need to ask for His help in getting us back to the way. So do you want to know God this morning? Do you want to know Him in a way that's real for your life? Well, then we keep His commandments. Well, then we love our brother. And then we live in His power. We depend upon His Holy Spirit to get us to the point where we need to be. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for some very